Y'all come in here and wipe the sleep out of your eyes and I'll fix it. But until then, just get ready. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. I love God's house. Haven't always loved God's house. There was a time that I hated coming to God's house. There was a time I didn't love gospel music. And they would turn it on and I would say, turn that junk off. There was a time that I didn't love God's word. I can remember one particular time my mom put a Bible underneath my bed, and I don't know how I felt it. Maybe them devils in me. I don't know what it was. I reached under there, and I retched under there, and got that Bible, and I threw it at her. And I said, you get that junk out from under my bed. I find it strange how God can take a man who hates God, hates the Bible, hates gospel music, hated preaching, and show him that he can't live without God. And now I'm like a junkie. I mean, the word of God said they were addicted to the gospel. And I'm addicted tonight. I got saved the first 3 years. I probably went to church 1,000 times. I'm not joking. I'm being conservative. Probably more than that. 1,100 times. See, at home in Kentucky, they got church somewhere every night. And we went every night. Work in the morning, be up at 6, 7, get home to 2 or 3. And folk would say, why don't you quit? I said, I can't. I got to feel his presence. I came out of a lot of sin, and I needed to feel a lot of glory. And you know what? I think that that's the way it probably was with all of us. And what happened? Where did we change? We know we're dependent on him. But God, give me a little revelation. It ain't enough to know we're dependent on him. We have to feel that dependence. Where if it's not there, we fall. We crumble. And we don't have that like we used to. And I think, if anything, we need to pray, God, let me feel that dependence upon you again. Well, it's good to be here. This is officially my pastor appreciation night for Brother Smith, since I wasn't invited to the other one. And it was the pastor that told me about it, or I wouldn't have even known about it. I think I'll just stop right there and preach a while. I almost cried. I didn't cry. I almost cried, but I didn't. Amen. Y'all feel bad? Y'all feel bad? All right, open your Bibles to chapter 59 of Isaiah. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, if y'all ain't feeling bad, I didn't do my job. You feeling bad? Good. All right. You was wrong. You was? No. Just wait a little while. Yeah, I'm just playing with you. We love you all, and you know how much we love Brother and Sister Smith. And I'm not playing tonight when I say I dearly appreciate them. And I appreciate Sister Smith as much as I do Brother Smith. I hope I'm allowed to say that, because it's the truth anyway. Such a wonderful pastor's wife. And I know a lot of times they get overlooked. Sister Smith, my hat's off to you tonight. I appreciate you also. How many's going to help Brother Lamb preach tonight? Because I need it really bad. I've been sick for a few days, and I just need the Lord to help me. Chapter 59 of the book of Isaiah, if you have that, say amen. I want to read verse 5. The Bible said they hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Could you go with me to Jeremiah? You don't have to. I'm just going to read one verse out of Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. Writer said, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. And then he asked a question. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Would you lift a hand and pray for us tonight? Father, we love you. Ghost needs you to move, strengthen you. Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. And he that eateth of their eggs dieth. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. That's a good verse of scripture, isn't it? Well, I mean, if you know what it means, it is. And my one sole purpose tonight is to enlighten your mind on what Isaiah is trying to tell us. I want to talk to you about the cockatrice and snake eggs. Each person here tonight is involved in an intensive warfare. Whether you're fighting or not doesn't change anything. The warfare still rages. In every war, there's going to be soldiers that become immobile and perhaps even paralyzed from fear, and they can't function. And I hate to tell you this, but those are usually the men that die first. The enemy has very little problem hitting a stationary target. But when a soldier is continuously on the move and confident of what he's doing, his chances of survival are much greater. Now, one of the main reasons that I've taught so extensively on spiritual warfare and prayer and those sort of things is that God has impressed upon my heart that most professing Christians have very little understanding upon the subject. Out of everything the Lord has shown me concerning this subject, I think probably the most important lesson that was taught concerning this warfare is that generally, as a rule, the warfare starts in the mind. In our text tonight, as strange as it seems, it deals with the issue of the mind and the imagination. To hold our text in the context it was written, we must first consider chapter 58. In chapter 58, we see the Lord causing Isaiah to cry aloud to his people to show them why they were approaching God, but God was not hearing their prayers. They were crying to him. They were reaching for him, but God was not answering them. God tells his people, as he did in Ezekiel chapter 33, that their hearts were divided. He said, "They hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness." The chapter before us begins by telling us that the hand of the Lord is not shortened, that it cannot save. And it says his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But he said, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." You're crying to him, but he's not answering you. As I pointed out, God's main controversy with his people was the sins of the heart. Sins of the heart. Now you've got to understand tonight, the mind is the womb of the heart. Nothing enters into the heart except that it's first conceived in the mind. Now you can help me if you want to or not. We're going to preach anyway. In Isaiah 59 and 5, we're told that they hatch cockatrice eggs. And then he goes on and says, "He that eateth of their eggs dieth. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper." Before we go any further, we must understand exactly what a cockatrice is. When I went to console in my commentaries, they didn't help me very much. I mean, they said, "Well, it's a viper, it's a horned viper, it's a venomous serpent," and all sorts of things that I already knew. But I needed to study just a little bit more. And I found out that a cockatrice is a beast about the size of a dragon. It's got a rooster head, and it's got rooster wings. It's said to have came from a rooster laying an egg and a toad frog sitting upon it, incubating and hatching that thing. That's a pretty strange looking beast, isn't it? It's rumored to have magical abilities. If it looked upon you, or if it touched you, or if it breathed upon you, you were turned into stone. What a creature. Now they were also said to have been very venomous. And once bitten by this cockatrice, the first thing that was to go was your eyesight. Now I know what most of you are thinking. You're saying, Brother Lamb, a rooster can't lay an egg. And I know that. And then if a rooster could lay an egg, then there's no way that a toad frog could sit up on its egg and incubate and hatch that thing. And that's precisely right. Because there's no such thing as a cockatrice. The story of the cockatrice is an ancient legend. Thank you, sweetheart. It's an ancient legend. The cockatrice is a figment of the imagination. Come on now, church, say amen. Isaiah says that God's people were a people that hatched cockatrice eggs. He was very much aware of the ancient legend concerning the cockatrice. He was telling them that they were entertaining things within their minds that were merely imaginary. He says, you're thinking upon things that are nothing but a figment of your imagination. He says, your minds are being occupied by the cockatrice. Now, according to the word of God, before the great flood, this was a prevailing sin among the people of God and among the inhabitants of the earth. But the Bible said that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that the imaginations of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. We also are warned against having the cockatrice or evil imaginations roaming within our minds, because the Apostle Paul told the Romans in chapter 1 verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened because of vain imaginations. Like Snakehead and Medusa of ancient mythology, legend has it that when the cockatrice looked, touched, or breathed upon someone, they become stone. You have to understand tonight that having the cockatrice in your mind will immobilize you. It always does. It will lock you up in the service of the Lord. It will lock you up in the house of God. It will cause you to sit paralyzed, unable to move at the prompting of the Holy Ghost. I mean, God will breathe upon us. I mean, we're dealing with this at the mission right now. Holy Ghost come by in a powerful way. But they won't yield to the Spirit of God, because cockatrice lies within the mind. That thought that says you're no good, no sense to testify. Nobody wants to hear you sing. Nobody wants to hear you preach. Nobody wants to hear you do anything in God. And so they sit immobile. They sit paralyzed, as it was with the case of Lot's wife. Although the angels held them by the hand, and although they were headed to the mountain of safety, she kept a cockatrice within her mind, an imagination that there was something in Sodom worth looking back to. The cockatrice convinced her to make a backward glance, and she became permanently a pillar of salt. Hallelujah. The cockatrice will immobilize you from doing the things of God. I remember a particular incident that happened to me several years ago. I was just saved, trying to learn how to play a guitar. Had a small little amp, had a little guitar I carried around. Had it plugged in there, the walls in the church, sitting in the pulpit playing. Young man sitting on a little piano seat beside me. I mean, the song was going good, and my amp come unplugged. I looked over and I knew that this young man had unplugged my guitar amp. And so I took my guitar off my neck. I set it up there against the amp. And I thought to myself, I'll never play the guitar again. This is the last night I ever pick up another electric guitar. I sat there and I pouted. I stewed over that. And then the voice spoke to me again and said, you know what? It was his grandmother that told him to do it. And so now I was mad at him and his grandma. I mean, I wasted a whole service just sitting there thinking about the cockatrice, thinking about this dragon beast with a rooster head and rooster wings, until finally I realized this is stupid. And so I reached over to him. I said, son, did you unplug my amp? And he laughed at me. He said, I will never unplug your amp, Brother Lamb. And so I realized that it was God in gravity that was trying to teach me a lesson about the cockatrice, about having things in your mind that's not exactly the way it seems. And so we find that this is the meaning of having the
cockatrice, a beast of legend, a beast of the imagination, imagining things that don't actually exist. And even as I sat there without playing my guitar because of something that didn't happen, it's the same exact thing in the church tonight. The enemy's messing with our minds. He's playing with our thoughts and our intellect. It doesn't have to happen. All you got to do is think it happened, and it's good as well as it is. I mean, the enemy's not stronger than us, but if we think he is, then he's as strong as we allow him to be.
Help me, Holy Ghost, tonight, oh God. The enemy will say to you, you know what happened to your mother. That's going to happen to you. You know what she did and it failed. There's no way you're going to get up. You know your mom and daddy got divorced. There's no way that your marriage is going to make it either. I mean, she had cancer. You got to have cancer. And that man didn't pastor good, so you can't pastor good. And you know what? Your daddy beat on her, and so you might as well beat on your children. The cockatrice in your mind. But listen, you don't have to listen to that. You don't have to yield yourself to the voice of the enemy. Just because mom and daddy's messed up don't mean you got to be messed up tonight. Just because Brother Lamb had four daddies by the time I was 11, I can tell you right now, my baby's going to have me for the time they live to the time I die, because I refuse to let the cockatrice rule and reign in my mind. Amen. Amen. Just because my life was messed up doesn't mean it's going to stay messed up. Help me preach tonight. Help me preach tonight. It will immobilize you. It will sit you still. I mean, you're looking at a pastor four times. I've pastored four churches. And I'm telling you right now, folk can immobilize a pastor. The way you respond to preaching has immobilized many a preacher. They go to that pulpit to preach. These lay preachers will go to the pulpit to preach. And you had better say amen. Because if you're not responsive and you don't lift a hand and you don't say amen, they may do all right one time. They may do all right two times. But that third time, they're going to drive home and say, sweetheart, I don't want to ever preach again because of cockatrice eggs. And say, they don't want to hear me preach. They don't want to hear me minister. I don't feel like teaching Sunday school. I don't feel like doing anything anymore. You need to get those things out of your mind. You're not preaching for men nohow. You're not teaching for men nohow. I'm working for God. And as long as God is pleased, then I'm okay tonight. Would you lift your hands tonight and give God some glory? Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost. Legend also has it that the cockatrice poison is so extremely venomous that it could kill many men. One of the first things that was affected by the cockatrice bite was a vision. The victim's eyes would immediately go blurry and quickly the vision would fade away. I believe tonight the church has lost its vision. You say, why, Brother Lane? Why has the church lost its vision? Because the bite of the cockatrice is affecting her sight. Revival is no longer the premium anymore. It's no longer the primary desire of the people. But work and money and things are so important, and they're so large, that they blind us of what is really needed. You see, you can live without things. You can make it without stuff. But you cannot make it without God. You cannot make it without the Lord in your life. And I'm telling you right now, the Holiness Church will not function and will not exist another generation if we don't have a revival in the move of God in our midst. If our young people don't see that there's more than sitting in a dry pew and singing a dry song and a preacher preaching a dry sermon and the clock struck 12 and the church gives up the dead, we've got to have fire. We've got to have anointing in the house of God again. The things that matter the most to the early church, it matters the least to us. Now listen to me tonight. Whether you realize that the power of God is the most important thing or not is really irrelevant, because in judgment, every knee's going to bow. And there's going to be a whole lot of folks saying, Lord, I wish I'd prayed more. I wish I'd prayed and been as punctual and as disciplined in my prayer life as I was in my work, as I was at school, as I was in other things of this life. It drives me crazy. They'll come in late for church or miss church completely. I don't got a problem with that. If they're sick and they can't make it, but it's when they punch that clock in the morning at 6:30 a.m. and they can't come to the house of God, I call them up and say, where was you at last night? Well, I was sick. Where you at right now? I'm working. Their eyes are blinded. You need the house of God more than you need anything else. I need God to help me tonight. I feel dangerous again tonight. I need the Holy Ghost to help me. I'm telling you, men don't have time to pray, but they can sit and watch the television set for hours at a time. I didn't hear very many amens, but that's okay. We can make time, but brother, I don't got time. And it's funny how men can make time for anything they really want to. I can't afford that, Brother Lamb. It's strange how folk that can't afford things, can somebody say, how'd you get that? Well, I just got it. And I thought yesterday that you couldn't afford a Big Mac. Well, I couldn't. But men can find time to do what they want, and they can find time to buy what they want. When it comes to the things of God, he's put on a back burner. Listen, we're a hell-bent people if we're not careful. We're playing games with God tonight. You say, Brother Lamb, you don't preach like this to your people. Sorry, I done broke this in on them last night. And I was a lot rougher on them than I'll be on you tonight. So you might as well say amen. We can make time for just about anything we want except the things of God. We can make time for restaurants. I can't afford to pay my tax. Shut up. I saw you at Burger King last night. They want you buying that Big Mac and that Whopper on. You ain't got enough money to pay your tithes. Offering plate comes around. You put a George Washington in and spend $30 at McDonald's. Your priorities are messed up. What do you want me to preach on tonight? Smoking dope? I mean, I'm going to preach on something you're guilty of, or I ain't doing no good. I mean, we are messed up people. We are messed up people. Well, hallelujah. Where'd my wife go? Come back, sweetheart, and get the car started. I mean, we can do just about anything. We can make time for amusements, just sitting around. I'll tell you what I've been preaching on. I've been preaching on taking naps lately, and I'm a fervent believer in it. I take them as much as I can, and I can't understand somebody can't pray. And they got time to lay down and take a nap. Well, help us, Holy Ghost. Wow. What about laying before God? What about begging him for the things of the Lord? How about praying for that which is really needful? The Spirit of God moving amongst us again. And I'm afraid tonight that our eyes are blurry. We have vain imaginations that those things that really don't matter are so very important. As I said, the things that matter the least to the old church, they matter the most to us. You see, they sold everything and brought the money to the apostles and the work of the Lord. But now folk ain't come to the house of God. We're trying to make more money and to buy more possessions. What else can it be? And there's poison in our blood, blinding our sight. Are we so blind that we can't see what's going on around us? 2 years ago, I couldn't have told you what a tsunami was. I mean, a tsunami was something I preached about. Something I read about in the encyclopedia. Something a friend of mine from Kentucky told me about. I'm preaching about tsunamis.
I didn't know what a tsunami was. Never heard of one. Never heard of one hitting anywhere. But now it seems like every time you turn around, tsunami here. I mean, one killed hundreds, tens of thousands just a while back. I heard it, a 7.4 earthquake hit Japan just a few days ago. Another one hit Pakistan. Over 30,000 people dead. But are we blind? Are we not seeing that something is happening? Hurricane after hurricane sweeping our country. What's going on? I'm telling you that Jesus is about to come back for somebody that's got their hearts made right. I think we're blind. How many 9/11s is it going to take? How long shall we pretend that everything is okay in the church? How long will you pretend that everything is just as it's supposed to be? How much more time must pass before our hearts become thirsty for God's glory? How much more time must expire before we fall upon our faces and confess our sins? That's what I've been praying. I'm scared them to death out the mission. I've been coming crying from the pulpit, Lord, pull the covers back. Pull the covers back. Let the handwriting come out on the wall. Start right here, the pastor. Reveal me out, God. Show me. Because there's only one thing that's going to stop the river from flowing, and that's sin. And until we break, until we humble our hearts and humble ourselves, God is not going to send a revival upon us. How much more time will expire before we become desperate for the gifts of the Spirit to operate in our churches again? One thing will stop the river from flowing, and that's sin. We must confess our sins of prayerlessness. We must confess our sins of not fasting. Sins of idleness. I just almost got a book finished on a man named John Hyde. They called him Praying Hyde. Had three nicknames. The Apostle of Prayer, Praying Hyde, which was the one that really stuck. And they called him the man who never sleeps. The man who never sleeps. A 10-day convention, he never laid in his bed. They said he would get him a pillow and lay prostrate in the prayer room and sleep for just a few minutes and rise again and begin to pray and seek the face of God. He was so fervent in India that he began to pray, God, give me a soul every day. He won 400 souls that year. The next year in 1910, he said, God, give me 2 souls. And God gave him 800 souls that year. One man. The next year, he said, God, give me 4 souls a day. Hallelujah. And God came through. When the man died and they did an autopsy, they said his heart was on the wrong side of his body, where he had cried and wept for India. They said, give me India or I die. His heart had physically shifted in his body. And the doctor said, Reverend Hyde, if you don't change your lifestyle, you're going to die in 6 months. My heart was broken as I listened to John Hyde, Praying Hyde, talk. He said, I was faced with a decision, either to cry for souls and die in 6 months, or to lay aside the work of intercession and live for longer. He said, all this time I have sought the face of God. He said, I will continue to seek the face of God for souls in India. You want to see Sinner Hill get saved? It's going to take more than a Polly on a cracker prayer. You got to get a hold of God. You got to pray and burn the midnight oil and get a hold of God. You might as well just let the Lord talk to you tonight. How long shall we be blinded by the cockatrice? I wish that I could ask you to stand tonight. I wish I could say, Sister Stephanie, come to the piano. I'm done.
But I'm not done. The scripture says they hatch cockatrice eggs. You see, the cockatrice doesn't just want to roam around in your thoughts. He wants to hatch an egg in your mind. In the beginning, the cockatrice was merely a thought, a vain imagination, but it will eventually become something more. Evil thoughts are cockatrice eggs, which will hatch into serpents. If they are not immediately destroyed, they will destroy you. Is it not true that all too often we allow evil thoughts to harbor in our minds about each other? I mean, somebody will tell you something about the man of God, and instead of asking him, we'll repeat what they said, harboring those things in our mind. It'll mess a church up. If you harbor the cockatrice, it will hatch an egg, and it will spring forth into a viper. James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, bringeth forth death. The thought comes into the mind, and the mind meditates upon the cockatrice, and eventually it is conceived, and an egg is hatched in the heart. Something very real comes from something very imaginary. When our minds become a stronghold of Satan, these strongholds must be pulled down. We are commanded to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every high thing, every demon, every principality. We are commanded to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I pray for us tonight that our eyes may be raised by faith unto that blessed Redeemer to deliver us from the power of this sin. If we feed on these evil thoughts or cockatrice eggs, our text says he that eateth of their eggs dieth. I heard the story about a preacher who was caught in the act of adultery. He had backslid on God. Many years was away from the Lord, but he came back to God. He wasn't preaching. Best I know, he wasn't preaching. Just attending the congregation. Evangelist came, knew about the story that God had laid upon his heart to preach against the sin of adultery. Everybody thought he was throwing it at that man, but he wasn't. At the conclusion of that sermon, that preacher stood to his feet and he said, "You, everybody here knows my situation. You know the sin that I committed." He said, "But I would like to tell you that I committed that sin a long time before I laid down in the bed with another man's wife." He said, "At night I would ponder upon other men's women. At night I would ponder upon pornography and upon wickedness, and eventually the cockatrice sprang forth and it caught hold in his heart, and he found himself a shipwrecked soul upon the shores of time, hell bent on his way to hell because of a cockatrice." I heard another story some time ago, years ago. A preacher's wife was unfaithful, and they reconciled. Everything was fine. I mean, God was moving and helping, and things were working back out. And the husband had got a man who was a business partner, and he allowed him to come in and stay with them because the man was a pretty good man, honest man, as I could understand the story. But time went by, and this man in his mind began to think, "She's cheating on me again. She's messing around on me." He wasn't, and she wasn't, but it was a cockatrice in his mind. And before the story was ended, it had caused trouble in the church. It had busted up a business and caused a friendship to go down the
the drain, and there was never anything to it. Listen to me. The devil's lying. He's a liar and the father of it. We gotta straighten up. We can have a move of God.
May God help us. Proverbs 23 and 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I've been misunderstood my entire Christian experience. He's heady, he's high-minded, he's proud, he's cocky, he's conceited. All these things. My best friends say, who are you talking about? Brother Lamb, no, he's not. You don't know him. But if you think that I'm going to look in the mirror and talk about myself like a dog, I'm not. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. When I look in the mirror, even though I may not like what I see, I say, get up, son. You're a child of God. You're a man of God. You pray. You're not sinning. You live for God. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You might as well get up. You might as well raise up. Hey, whatever you got in your mind, it will become just exactly that thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. Help us tonight, oh God. Father, we love you, we honor you and praise you. Would you touch our hearts tonight? Would you help me to close this out? Would you help me to close this out tonight? Would you help me, Lord, to preach this to the fullness tonight? Brothers and sisters, evil thoughts, bitterness, anger, lust, greed, it all gives place to the devil. We must remember that God knows the secrets of your hearts tonight. I need your attention right here. I don't want no talking, no looking around. I don't want no getting up and going out. I feel the Holy Ghost unctioning me tonight. And the Lord is wanting to talk to some hearts here right now. The enemy is trying to destroy you. He's putting thoughts in your mind, harboring these thoughts, and allowing the cockatrice egg to hatch. You are going to die. Have these sins hid his face from you that he will not hear you? Are you allowing past hurts and things that happened years ago to stop your progress? And tonight, what happened yesterday is affecting today and paralyzing tomorrow. You need to forget those things that are behind and reaching forth. I can start over. I can draw a line. I may not have prayed good yesterday, but yesterday's gone. Today's the day. Today's a new day. If we want God to answer our prayers, we must observe what our Savior said. And when you stand praying, he said, forgive. For if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. He's talking about more than holding a grudge. He's talking about wiping the slate clean. He's talking about apprehending the thought of the mind. And I've said all of this to try to get through your heart and your mind tonight. We desperately need a move of God right here at the Covenant Holiness Church. But you've got to realize that. You've got to feel that. You've got to wipe the sleep out of your eyes and see the desolation and see the destitution that God is wanting to move in our midst again. Something isn't quite right. Our services reek of the same stale human odor, service after service. I want God to break in and disrupt my life. I feel like saying this again tonight. I told the church last night. What kind of church do you want here? You want a shouting church? You want a praying church? Well, how about praying? Because you make what this church is. You don't like the way things are, change it. Don't run. Don't leave. Don't hide, you bunch of cowards. Get in here and help the man of God. Get in here, not just with your presence, not just with your tithes, but let's lay hold on the horns of the altar. Am I all right, preacher? Something is not right. I studied this message out. Two churches on my heart: God's Miracle Mission and the Covenant Holiness Church. And you're hearing it tonight. And you can let this and run off your back like water on a duck's back if you want to. I'm going to go on home tonight, Brother Bowers. I'm going to sleep real good. I'm going to sleep real good tonight. I saw something lacking in my life. About 2 weeks ago, God began to deal with me about the church that I pastor. And I decided that I was going to turn the heat up in my life and on the enemy. And instead of studying for 6 hours a day and praying for two, I decided to flip that thing around. Didn't care if I studied out another message. Didn't care if I studied out another Bible study. I made up my mind, Sister Creech, and I was going to pray all day long. Every time God woke me in the night, I was not going to roll back over. I was going to get out of my bed and pray again. I got a book on David Brainerd. I got one on Praying Hard. I got one on G.C. Bevington. A man that prayed and saw the heavens move. And God began to increase my faith. And I believe tonight that we can have revival again right here at the Mission, at every church. We've got to want it tonight. Would you come to the piano, Sister Stephanie? Would you lift your hands tonight and give God some glory? I got a few more things I need to say. The Spirit spoke to me as I came in here. And I don't want to embarrass you young people here today. But the Holy Ghost told me to tell you the greatest cockatrice that ever existed is in the mind of a sinner. And it's that voice that says, you've got till tomorrow. You've got till tomorrow. You're not going to die. You've got on and on and on. I come to tell you that's a lie. Today's the day. Would you bow your heads with me across the house? Every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we come to you. I've done my best to preach to the saints tonight. I've done my best to challenge the saints. I believe I've preached without fear, without favor. But Lord, my heart is yearning for a lost soul here tonight. A soul that's teetering on the edge of hell. They're not happy. They wear the mask everywhere they go, pretending to be something that they're really not. Lord, I'm asking you right now to convict their hearts. Let them feel your love. Let them feel your compassion. With every head bowed, as the Spirit of the Lord's moving in the house, with a quick lifting of the hand and put it right back down, I want you to say, preacher, I want to be saved tonight. Lift that hand. I see it. I see that hand. God bless you. There's more here. Would there be another? Lift that hand and say, Brother Lamb, I want to give my life to Jesus. or to be another. I see that hand. God bless you, my friend. Would there be another? You'll never regret it. I had a baseball scholarship to any college in the United States of America. It broke my heart when the Holy Ghost told me I couldn't even go to college. Driving a forklift, making $10 an hour. My heart was broken. But God had greater plans for me. I've not regretted a mile. Not one footstep. Yes, I've had to give up a lot of things. But everything I gave up, God gave me an abundance. Overflowing. He may not take every hurt away. He may not take every pain away. But I can assure you that He'll walk with you through every valley, through every dark night, when your friends forsake you, when there's nobody there to help you, when your mama and daddy don't understand and folk turn their backs on you. Jesus will never turn His back on you. Just for another brief moment, would it be another? I would say, I want to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ tonight. Maybe you're here and you won't come down to the altar and pray, but you'd say, Brother Lamb, I need prayer. The Lord's dealing with my heart. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? I'd like to see you. I want to pray for you. Now I'm going to ask you to do probably the most bravest thing you've ever done in your life. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Just me and God know. I want you to stand up where you're at, those that raise their hands. I want you to slide out of them seats. Come on. Come on. Somebody come pray with this young lady. I want you to slide out of those seats. There's another. You lifted that hand, said, I want to be saved. Brothers, Brother Razor, come pray with this young man. Make sure he knows how to pray. There's others here tonight. Katie, weep your way back to Calvary. You can overcome any obstacle. You can overcome anything that's in your way through Jesus Christ. Would there be another that would make that walk? Be strong tonight. I'm tired of the way things are. Jesus loves you with a great love.